that needs to be plugged in.
Blog Talk Radio.
But why am I not hearing?
You're on.
My mic.
You're on.
I don't hear my mic.
I'm telling you, you're on.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, January 3rd of 2023. The program, I'm glad that you've tuned in to the program, and it's a blessing that you would decide to tune in like this. I don't know what it is that's not pushed, but
I can hear you.
At least I know you can hear me, so which is great to see. Okay, so now that I know that we're good, yeah, and I hope you listeners who are tuned in had a chance to hear last night, where last night we talked about Job and about how God, how whatever we go through, you know, God is still there for us, and he wants to help us, and he wants to restore to us, because we saw with Job that in the beginning, you know, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had all these sheep. He had a ton. He had a whole bunch of donkeys. He had a bunch of yoke of oxen. He had camels. He had servants and a great household. But then he lost it all. But then in the end, he ends up getting back much greater than what he lost. The one thing about Job I will say that is that he had this doctrine of that God would give and take away. But the thing is, you know this, Jade, right? That doctrine was not exactly the best doctrine. The doctrine that God gives and takes away.
I did not know that.
But the truth is, God doesn't necessarily take good things away from us.
Is that not in the Bible, though?
Job said, you know, that he gives and takes away. But at the same time, Job didn't have, like what you and I have, like Bible teachers that tell us, you know, and all that. And by the way, the first book, the oldest book of your Bible is Job. Even though Genesis is the first, Job is the oldest. As far as the timing of, I mean when it was written. If you go based on the timing of when the events took place, like the creation of the earth and that, then it would be Genesis. Of course, I love that, you know, Job feared God, stayed away from evil. If you shun something, that means you do not like it, and you really try to stay away from it. And so that's what Job did in his life. And so that was what we talked about last night. Tonight, when we get into the Word, we're going to be getting back into the Proverbs that we have been doing Proverbs, but then the holidays, Christmas came, so that kind of interrupted that. And then, last week we had problems with Blog Talk Radio not even working. But thankfully, we've gotten that corrected. So I'm back on the air. And so we are back in business, as they say. which is great. And I'm glad to be back with you. I do want to let you know, though, that in about a week and a half, I'll be in Florida for a week. So there will either be one or two shows the week of that 15th to 17th. There will only be either one or two shows. And the thing about that is that these shows will mostly be me talking about like how Florida's going. They'll be shorter. And, you know, I might read a verse, I might give you a verse or two to encourage you, but it'll be me talking about Florida and what I've been up to and stuff. You say, where in Florida are you going? Tampa. Same city that I've been to the last three times. You say, you must love going there. I do. There's places in the Tampa area that I haven't been to yet that I would love to go to at some point, like Busch Gardens and a certain water park that's there. I forgot the name of it, but I know there's a big one there. I'm hoping it's going to be in the 70s when I'm there. And even some 80s would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yay, 80s, yay! Woo-hoo! And now you're not going to burn anymore.
Yeah.
You're not going to burn anymore because goodness, went from level 2 to level 6. Yay!
Hey, I enjoy the 80s.
Since your skin goes to number level 6, that means you don't burn.
That would be awesome.
Yay!
Your listeners are like, what is he talking about?
Okay, and then I'm like, if you haven't looked into like these different skin pigments on how it affects, you know, don't worry about it. I'll just leave it at that. you know, some people might find it fascinating, like I did when she told me about it. But for the rest of you, I would say, for right now, don't worry about it. maybe someday I will tell you, but not tonight, as they say. Just not tonight.
Don't worry about it.
yeah, like it's not anything bad or anything, but just don't worry about it tonight. There'll be that coming. And I am honestly looking forward to Florida. I am looking forward to Florida. I love going down there. And I thank God for what their governor has done to keep it a free state, and that their governor has vowed to say no to what they're trying to do, make people wear face diapers again, and, you know, lock everything down. Florida's just a nice place. Tampa, Florida is. And I know people say it's hot, it's humid, all that kind of crazy stuff. You know, in January and February, it's not all that bad. It's really not. And the thing of, oh, well, it rains every day, that's in the summer that it feels like it rains every day. And when I went in June of 2020, it actually only rained on two of the days we were there. But in the first case, it was very light for like 5 minutes. The other case, It was for like an hour or so. And it was part of a thunderstorm. And so in like June, early to mid-June, it's not necessarily an everyday thing yet. And in May, it can kind of depend on the year, from what I've been told. But the ultimate dry season, nice and dry season, is like January to April, and then like October to December. And so, that is that, as they say. Do you mind getting me water from the fridge?
Gotcha.
Yes. Water. And so, I believe that for the body of Christ, 2024 is going to be a year of more. I really do believe that. More blessing, more prosperity, more divine help from God, more favor, more deliverance, more freedom. I believe it's going to be a year of more and greater. And by the way, I didn't come up with more for 24 because it rhymed. Nope. It's honestly how I feel about it. Even though it does rhyme. And I guess I'm a poet and didn't know it, but I don't know. But I have a pun for you. What did the gingerbread put on his bed? A cookie sheet. And by the way, I don't get what gingerbread or the gingerbread man has to do with Christmas at all. What does the gingerbread boy have to do with Christmas? Nothing.
No,
so what does gingerbread cookies have to do with Christmas? I don't know. But they advertise it and sell it as Christmas-themed in gingerbread houses. But what's Christmassy about them?
No idea.
And I'm guessing some of those gingerbread houses that you've seen don't even look Christmassy, do they?
Not really.
You think they just sell it as such even though it's not?
Yeah.
I think you think that Christmas candy, those Christmas Reese's cups and and the stuff from my party and that Christmas candy is more Christmassy than your gingerbread house.
I do.
So why do they package these gingerbread houses and sell them as Christmas stuff?
I have no idea. I've never understood that.
I don't understand. Well, I don't understand it either. It's just, I think what it is that it's become a Christmas tradition.
That could be it, yeah.
But
we started it and it just became
eggnog is Christmas stuff though, and we all know that. And it comes in its Christmas themed container.
Yeah, but how did that become Christmas tradition? How did that become a Christmas theme?
That I don't know.
Right.
But the gingerbread house that you see like at Walmart and Target and anywhere else, those do not come in a Christmas themed container, do they?
No. Well, sometimes they do. I guess it just depends.
Depends on where you got the house from and what it's made out of, maybe,
right.
I guess.
I guess. Yeah.
And did one of us, who is really good at art, come up with it and help it look Christmassy? Or did the gingerbread boy make it up who was just too busy running? Run, run as fast as you can.
Yeah,
I don't decorate for...
The gingerbread man.
Run, run as fast as you can. I don't decorate for Christmas because I'm the gingerbread man and I'm too busy running. That's what he should have said.
Right.
Because something tells me the gingerbread man probably did not decorate for Christmas.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one.
He was too busy running.
That's pretty much, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, because if you're that busy running, how are you going to have the energy when you get home from all that running to bother to make the cookies?
Right.
You're going to say, I know I was supposed to make all that Christmas stuff, but you know what? I ran out of energy.
I have said that before.
You've said that when you got back home?
I have, yeah. I have said that. This season, actually, I've said that.
Did those cookies get made?
They did eventually get made.
Yay! Why do I, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas cookies. I could eat them in, like, March.
Oh, me too. What's your favorite Christmas cookie?
I like ones with frosting on them.
Oh, me too. Sugar cookies?
Yes!
Yay!
There's gotta be Christmas cookies still online.
Oh, I'm sure. Or we could just make more Christmas
cookies. Do they make a special mix for them?
They probably do.
Do they? I wish, has Goodwill ever had them?
I have no idea about that.
I know they've had, like, Christmas sweaters out of season.
I doubt they'd have Christmas cookies mixed. That would be weird.
So, you doubt they've had them in season?
I doubt they'd have Christmas cookie mix at all. That'd be weird, I think.
And that's regardless of whether it was in or out.
Right.
Because...
So you think so? They usually have, like, clothes and appliances and knickknacks and that kind of stuff.
Who?
Goodwill.
Yep, maybe they would.
I guess that's something we'll have to keep our eye out for.
Hey, like, hey, Goodwill, do you have any Christmas cookie mix? You'd be like, really, on January 3rd? Yep.
This is almost
the wonderful time of the year because it's winter. Because it helps you get through the winter. Because if it wasn't for Christmas, in my mind, winter, with all of its darkness, could be kind of boring, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
And I say that as someone who is not a big, huge snow lover, unless it's around Christmas time. And I could go sledding or tobogganing or something, but that'd be more for the thrill of it.
Right. I get
that. That'd be, other than that, I'd be like, take me back inside. Like in the winter, really, dude? Yep. For me, it'd be like you're kind of a winter version of the Grinch unless it's Christmas. Yeah, you could say that because I'd rather it be warmer. Are you heat miser or snow miser? I'd say I'm heat miser if I'm either.
Oh yeah, you definitely are.
Unless I'm at the football games, then I'd say bring on the chili so that everybody is forced to sit together.
That's funny though.
Because sometimes people will almost have to stand together or sit together, in order to feel warm.
That's true.
Which in that case I would like it for that. But anyhow, to each their own. In my mind, when it comes to, you might say, what's a winter wonderland like to me? For me, an ultimate winter wonderland is actually on a beach. It's white sand on a beach. Why?
Oh.
Because there, guess what? You have a white Christmas this year, regardless of what the weatherman says.
Right.
And in Florida, if you live on one of the beaches that's white sand, you'll have a white Christmas every year.
That's true. That is true.
And instead of, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, it's, We're going to have another white Christmas this year. Another season where it's warm and clear. Don't need snow. We got sand beneath our toes. And it's going to be another white Christmas this year. Let it blow. Let it blow. Let it blow. Give me sand under my toes. Under my feet instead of snow.
I like that.
Yep. Yep. The let it blow is for the up north.
There you go.
We're down there where I'm saying we sand instead of snow. And also, in case it's raining, why can't we have a retractable beach? I mean, a retractable roof. You know, it's part beach, part mall, but it has a retractable roof on it.
That could be interesting.
And the beach is essentially in the commons of the mall. Ooh, I love that.
I like it too.
And right over top of it is the mall. Literally right over top of it.
There you go. I like it.
And it's like the busiest mall of this big city, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And does it have a Taco Bell in it? Does it have a McDonald's in it?
Of
course. Of
course.
Does it have a Chick-fil-A in it? You know it does. Does it have a Burlington in it? Does it have a Target in it? Yep. Because I think it actually has a Walmart in it too. I think, but it has a bit of a mix of everything. It's rather than it being a super fancy mall, it's more of a Mick mall. It's more like an outlet mall type thing.
I like this idea. You might want to get to some of your housekeeping by now, though.
I'll in a second, but like, because these McMansions, I don't know, Jade, if you heard of the McMansions that were a popular building style in the 80s and 90s.
I think so, yeah.
But what they were is, these are houses that were often expensive and very big, but they were often put together by kind of cheaper materials and stuff.
So mine is
a McMall, but it's made to be sturdy because it's right over the water and stuff.
Yeah.
But based on a lot of the tenants that are in it, it is kind of more of a McMall, but it's ones that people want to go to, you know?
Right.
But you can't beat the view of the ocean.
That's true.
That makes it worth it being a McMall, actually, I think.
I would have to agree with that.
And it has a Marshalls, it has a Walmart, a Target, places where people actually go, as opposed to a super expensive Saks Fifth Avenue where who knows if people go there or not.
Right.
But instead, like, does it have a Macy's? Yes, but it's an outlet version.
Oh, really?
So it's like everything you know and love, but it's just at the outlet prices, you know? So it's like, think of a Great Lakes Crossing, but it's bigger. It's bigger.
Oh, man.
And does it have all these? And what's fancy about it is more like, because it has a retractable roof and like huge skylights. So it ought to have like the skylights of a luxury mall while having the stores of more like a McMall or an outlet mall.
That would be awesome.
Because the idea is that it's meant to be a family-oriented mall and the beach is right underneath it. And you go down there and there's the beach! Yay! And is there parking? Yes, there is. There's parking in the big garages. But there's also separate garages for the beach, but you got to pay for those.
Oh, man.
You know, so you got to keep the parking separated somehow. Because otherwise, there might never be parking at all.
Right.
So you got to separate the parking somehow. Some way, somehow. You say, is it near a downtown area? Oh, yeah. It is. Like a few miles from it, though, but I think this mall is like two stories, maybe, but the beach is the bottom level.
That's interesting.
That'd be interesting. Building the mall right over top the beach. And in one point, in some of the stores and what have you, and in certain hallways, you'd be right over the water.
Oh, that would be so cool.
So it'd be like a pier.
That would be awesome.
So like, you'd be able to, like, see the waves.
That would be so awesome.
I feel like that right there could be a draw. And, like, to be able to eat in that food court, like, when the roof's off, you'd be able to eat, like, in the sun.
That would be so cool, too.
Like, to be able to eat out, you know, in the sun on a warm, you know, February or April or January day, December day. Because, you know, we're talking Florida, so
right.
Keeping into account their seasons. And then in the more rainy days of summer or other rainy days, you know, or days when it's in like the 50s out or something, we have it closed and you can be inside and you have a fireplace on.
That would be cool too.
And do we decorate the thing for Christmas? And you say, if the roof's off, can we see all the Christmas stuff on the beach? We have some of the biggest Christmas tree, indoor Christmas stuff in the city. Oh, yes.
I can actually picture that, and I think it would look awesome.
It would be the perfect mall beach combo. I love it.
I think you need to talk to somebody about this, because this is, like, an excellent idea.
And, like, you'd be able to hear everything that's going upstairs. And you got the Christmas music and what have you from the mall being pumped down to the beach. Which is like, because then it's like, then in a way it's almost like, guess what? The mall has a swimming pool at it.
That would be like the perfect mall for you.
And for any family.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has anything and everything in it, or at least it feels like.
Yeah.
It would be because there's things about it that you can't beat, because the beach, I figure, is, you know, right down below. And when you're upstairs, you can look down at water,
ice cream.
Of course you had to do that. Like, imagine a sea of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
A sea of ice cream, like different flavors of ice cream. I'd be like, yes, okay. But in reality, though, I do want to remind you of a couple of things that I always try to remind you about. The first thing I want to remind you about is about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, how great God has been through all these years of my life. And He's really want me for me and hemmed me in. We've trusted in Him throughout my life, even when we didn't know what to do. We trusted in Him, and He's been faithful. And I can think back to when I'm little, and He healed me of cancer. He healed my immune system because at one point it was extremely weak. There's just a lot of different miracles that God did for us. And you know what? God's not done with me.
Amen.
And there's stuff that I'm believing for Him to do in my body and stuff. But you know what? I know He's not done. And God kept me alive on this earth for a reason. Because my mama has said before, heal him or take him home. And that's not void. It's not void. I'm still here on this earth. So there's a reason why I'm alive. And I know that it's God keeping me alive on this earth. No, it's not like I feel like I'm going to die tonight or anything like that. I'm just saying, based on what my mom has prayed, over the years. Heal him or take him home. And I'm still here on this earth. And I believe that if I'm not dead, God's not done. I seriously feel that way. I really do. Because I feel like, I think for me, that is a fact. I was supposed to die years and years ago. I didn't die. I lived on. They said I would die at 12 years old. I'm 34 years old now. And you say, do you feel it? No. I mean, you know, I don't think 34 is like an old age, but, you know, I'll say this. It's not 84. No. No offense to them, but they do say, though, when you're older, you're wiser. But sometimes, who knows? But I can see where people say that. And I've even heard comments, you know, about, for example, I've heard people say something like, you know, when I was 23, la, 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 and be like, I wouldn't mind being 23 again if I knew now what, if I knew then what I do now. No, not. You know?
Right.
And that was someone who was like 70 or so that said that. Because 23 compared to 70, at 70, you know, you have a lot more wisdom. And you may have not raised kids and things like that. Where at 23, you might be, if you didn't get pregnant as a teenager, your kid would be like 4 or so. And even at 23, these moms and dads who have these little kids, they're still trying to figure it out. I mean, figure out, you know, if they're 23 and their kid's like 4, how do I do this 4-year-old thing? You know?
Right.
And then when they're in their 30s, with this, when they got the teenagers, they're like, how do I do this teenage thing? They're like, I know I was one once, but the lingo might be different now. You know? They're like, but anyhow, you know, all that aside, all silly stuff aside, it's a great book. Rivers of Miracles is a great book. You can go online to the website Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com in order to purchase the book and for the book to be a blessing to your life. I want it to be a blessing to your life. I really do. And you can go online to riversofmiracles.com in order to buy the book. And I pray that the book helps you. I really do. I really hope that it increases your faith. It's a great story. And it's a story with encouragement. And you know what? My story is still being written. And I can't wait for when I can see and when that whole thing manifests and then we make a movie out of it. I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I know that for a fact. Oh, you really think so? No, I know so. It's going to be great. And I'm not being cocky about it either. I just honestly believe it's going to be a great thing. And the other thing I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. If this has been a blessing into your life, me coming to you for 6 years like this, every Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, me coming to you like this, bringing you the Word of God, If this has been a blessing to you, I pray it has been, then you can go online to paypal.com. When you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you will want to type in Rivers Shukla. R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, if you would please, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. In addition to that, the first R in Rivers is capitalized, as is the S in Shukla. So just make a note of that, if you would kindly. Okay. And I don't tell you how much to give. You decide that for, in your heart, how much you should give. Because I am huge on no pressure. I don't do pressure stuff like that. I'm not going to sit on a pedestal and say, oh, you better give $300 a piece or whatever. No, I don't do that. And I'm not turning my episodes to fundraisers. I don't know if you're happy about that or not. Some of you are staring. You're like, what? Turn your episodes into fundraisers. Nope. I'm not going to do that. If you want someone that's going to do that, or you want to start your own broadcast. Because I'm not going to do it here. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing that here. Now here we bring the word of God, you know, sports and what have you. But I don't try to pressurize people into giving, you know. I do like to give you verses to help you give and stuff like this. Therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to the price of gas. I'm sorry. According to the bills that you're getting back from Christmas. I'm sorry. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's not about all this other financial stuff. What's the stock market doing? What's the price of gas? What's your bank statement? What's this? What's that? No, according to his riches and glory. And he is the God of more than enough. For whatever that other stuff says, he is the God of more than enough. I believe if gas goes to $10 or $20 a gallon, we'll have enough. Because God will help us. I didn't say I wanted it to go that high. I don't. Hopefully, nobody does. If they do, they're crazy. I'm glad we serve the God of more than enough. And I know my God supplies all of my needs and will your needs according to his riches and glory. So that's a great principle to stand on. And so now I want to sing a couple of songs. And then get into the word of the Lord tonight, which is going to send us to Proverbs, back to Proverbs. Because I had said that I would be doing a study of the book of Proverbs. Then after that, when we finish that, I want to get into Deuteronomy. There's a lot of promises that come from Deuteronomy. And things in there where it talks about, you know, blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience, and that kind of stuff. There's multiple quotations in the New Testament also that are taken from Deuteronomy. So, and what you'll see through that is that even though we're in the New Covenant, we're from the New Covenant, the New Testament, that the Old Covenant, the stuff about God's promises and that, still applies. And it's great to look back at that himself. I don't know about you, but I feel good about it. But first, I'm going to sing a couple of songs. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Treasures in me. Never enough, but you came along and put me back together. Failures and failures, you see them all. Well, it's still in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, I know it's true. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. Failures and faults, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Because the God of the mountains, he's the God of the valleys. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who came. You turn mourning to garden dancing. You turn shame into glory. You give beauty for ashes. You're the only one who came. You're the only one who came. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, you turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. Yes, you turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who came. You're the only one who came. You're the only one who came. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Oh, your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Oh, you never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Oh, yes. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Whoa. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. No, you've never failed me yet. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I've seen you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way to believe, I see you do it again. I see you do it again. The promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. The promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Oh, you've never failed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, turn your eyes upon me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim when you turn your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim when you turn your eyes upon him. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are to us, for who you are to us, for what you're doing right now in each and every one of us, each and every one of our lives. Thank you for your hand upon us. It's great to serve you. We've praised you. We've worshiped you. We're about to open your holy word, your holy, unadulterated word. Thank you, Lord God, that as we study your word, that these listeners would not be distracted. That they would put down all distractions and would focus on what you have for them. And that they would receive something from you. Something that they can put into practice in their own life. And I thank you that you are meeting every need represented on this program tonight. You're giving hope to those who need hope. You're giving strength to those who need it. You're healing those who need healing. You're providing for those who need provision of whatever that provision is, regardless of what it is. And if it's taxes, you provide the fish with the coin in its mouth, and there's enough to pay the taxes. And I thank you, Lord God, for that you are with us, that you are helping us. You're meeting our needs, that you are here for us. And whatever it is that's harassing us, trying to get in our way, trying to mess with us, it would stop right now. And that instead we would have peace with you. And through you, I speak peace to the storm that's trying to mess with us, whatever it may be. I speak peace to it right now, in your name, Jesus. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Go with me, if you would, in your Bible, please, to the book of Proverbs 15. Woo! Amen. Proverbs 15. We're going to see how wise we can get y'all to be. Thank you. You know, some of you might have written down your New Year's resolution in order to get wiser. But if your wisdom teeth are not removed, I don't know how that's going to work. Mm-hmm. Jay, do you still have your wisdom teeth?
I do.
Oh, well, when I was 18, I had them removed.
Oh.
I know, right? Oh, well, sometimes just, you know, when you're going to have certain medical things done, sometimes it just becomes time to have them taken out.
Sometimes.
Yep, it all depends, though. But we're talking about... Ultimately, we're talking about the God kind of wisdom, not the wisdom that comes from certain teeth that they more commonly than not have taken out. Okay. Proverbs 15, I'm going to start with verse 1. Thank God for the Word of God. What would we do without it? Especially in this day and age, what on earth would we do today without the Word of God? I mean, I tell you, people are whacked out. People are weirded out. You say, American man, how do you know? It's just the day we live in. It's just the fact of the day we live in, you know. Nonetheless, I'm going to my verses. I'm going to start with verse 1, chapter 15, book of Proverbs. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He knows everything. Okay, I threw that "he knows everything" part in there. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A fool turns his father's, a fool spurns his father's discipline. Whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings them trouble. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but not so the hearts of fools. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. Death and destruction, capital D destruction, lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? A mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. Yes, it does. But a heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little of the fear of the Lord than great wealth and turmoil. A meal of vegetables where there is love is better than a fattened calf with hatred. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. A wise son brings joy to his father, and mother. So the way we would say that, a wise son or daughter brings joy to his parents. But a foolish man despises his mother, or he would say his parents. Folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course. Plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many aggressors, they succeed. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and our good is a timely word. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked. Those of the pure are pleasing to him. A greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. He who listens to a life-giving, turning the page, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. I remember reading that chapter to you just before we went on to the Christmas season. Let's look at 16, verse 1. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All of a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Uh-oh, better check your motives. Verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. In other words, what he's saying there, whatever you do, you commit it to the Lord, like whatever you're trying to do, and your plans will succeed. You can have God's help. That can be for like starting a business, even. Verse 4. The Lord works out everything for his own, and even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Where love and faithfulness sin is atoned for, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. He makes even his enemies live at peace with him. A little righteousness is better than much gain with injustice. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. The lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth should not betray justice. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for his throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man will appease it. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Or in other words, one way we could read it, pride comes before the fall. Remember when we played Jenga? It falls! But here's the thing. Even when you play Jenga, if you're proud, thinking it's not going to fall, it's going to fall!
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 19. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction, in other words, listens to instruction, pays attention to it. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. The laborer's appetite works for him. Hunger drives him on. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorning fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good. He who winks with his eye is plotting perversity. he who purses his lips is bent on evil. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. What? What? Okay, I'll read it again without that. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Huh? What?
Yeah, you heard it.
It said gray hair is for those who are righteous, not for the wicked. Hey, I thought if you were wicked, you were supposed to get gray hair and not the other way around. Nope. I know some people might think that, but I would just, okay. Get it. We'll do it again without that. It says gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Verse 32. A patient man is better than a warrior. A man who controls his temper is better than one who takes a city. The lot is cast into the law, but its every direction is from the Lord. So, you see here, we got into a lot of things, different things tonight. But what you see here is there's all these different, when you're seeing stuff repeated that was in previous chapters, to a degree, you know what that tells me? It tells me that God is very serious about this stuff. It tells me that God is very serious about things like pride and being humble. Doesn't it tell you that?
Yes.
It tells me that God is serious. It's not like, oh, he felt like being repetitive and he forgot what he said. Nope. No. It's important. He did it because it's important, not because like, oh, I forgot what I... No, God doesn't forget. It's important. That's why it was written in here. Whenever I see a verse repeated, like almost back to back, like that, it tells me that the writer is trying to get something to us. And when it said things like take heed to correction, what does that mean? Listen to it. I know you might not like it. I don't like it myself, but we all need it in this life. If you live on this earth, you're not perfect. You're going to need some correction. Really? Yep. I know, right? But you know, and another thing that I thought was great that we read, a verse that I had remember hearing even when I was little. You know, like 8 years old, and I'm sure prior, but like even seven, but like where it says, the highway of the Lord, I mean the highway of the upright. My version said avoids evil, but I like to say is to depart from evil. What does that mean? If you're being evil, stop. Stop doing it. Oh, you're stealing? Stop. You're in idolatry? Stop. And, you know, the version I read said avoids it, meaning does not get into it in the first place. Meaning if you haven't started doing evil, Don't stir. And the truth is, God, we are going to give an account to God. We are going to meet our Maker on Judgment Day. We are going to be tried by God. We are. And you know what? His eyes are everywhere, like we read tonight. They're not just somewhere. And Jesus doesn't leave when you're about to go do something you shouldn't do. It doesn't go, I'm going to go into this bar where I shouldn't be, and I'm going to go do this drinking and stuff. Nope, got to go there with you. Well, I'm about to go there and maybe I'll gossip. I mean, I'm about to go see these people and maybe I'll gossip with them. Oh, really? He's going to leave you alone? No, he's not. He's everywhere. And if you've been sitting like that, you need to repent before God. Because God doesn't want us to live in sin. He wants us to live the right way. And God doesn't mean for it to be boring or anything like that. But he loves us. He cares about us. He cares about us. That's why God corrects us. And if you hear God telling you you shouldn't be doing a certain thing anymore, maybe you should listen to him. But these proverbs, these are great lessons for us. And it's just, some of them sound so simple, but the fact of the matter is, sometimes we need those reminders. And, you know, the things about, like, where we read in the first chapter about how wisdom raises her voice on the noisy streets and says, like, everyone, come in here. You know, and that. But then folly says, if you're simple, come in here. And all that, like, come in here and hang out. Or whatever. And then, and then it even says things we read tonight about how, like, a gentle answer turns away wrath. We have to be gentle. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. We don't always need to be harsh. We have to be able to be gentle. Because you never know why someone could be angry. But if you yourself are angry, you got to not be so angry and find peace. And hey, laugh. There's a verse in the Bible. You know what it says? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Laughter is medicine, folks. Let me be honest with you about something. There was a study done amongst some guys. One group of guys had heart issues, had like all kinds of heart, cardiac issues. The other group of guys didn't. Both of them were shown a funny TV show. The group of guys who had heart issues, the cardiac issues, none of them thought it was funny. None of them thought it was funny. The guys who didn't have the issues, they were laughing. They thought it was hysterical. Another study shows that people over 30, do less than 10 laughs a day. Some of us got to be able to laugh. Because laughing really can help you. Yeah, but to me nothing's funny. Oh, really? Sometimes you got to be able to just look at the mirror and laugh and maybe start there. I don't know. You just got to start somewhere. Yeah, you do. Got to start somewhere. It's like anything else. It's got to start somewhere. Got to be able to... And I know laughter does good like a medicine does. It really does. Let me just...
36 seconds.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the word tonight. I thank you that we would get the word in us in the name of Jesus. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.